After 25 years in corporate, I'm currently taking time off work to reflect, reinvent, and rejuvenate. This sabbatical was 10 years in the making, after deciding that I didn't want to go through another brutal company restructure. I'm pursuing my own interests and experimenting with how I want to spend my time into the future. Welcome to a new series of Unchained podcasts. In these episodes, I'm talking to people who have taken breaks from work for various reasons. I want to understand why they did it, what they did on their breaks, what they learned from the experience, and how they are taking lessons learned from the experience back into their work lives. My guest today is Sas Wessels. Sas is a mechanical engineer with an MBA who brings over 25 years of mining industry experience. He has worked in operations at De Beers and in business improvement and project management at AngloGold Ashanti and Kumba Iron Ore. Sas is also a registered professional engineer. Welcome to the studio, Sas.
Thank you, Pietro.
Can you please introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about what you are doing now?
Yes, I think, where do I start? So actually, maybe something that's very fresh in my mind is this last weekend, on the long weekend, I went for my 30-year school reunion. So that's pretty fresh in my mind. So let's start there. So I come from a small town called Vryburg, used to be in the Northern Cape, about 200 kilometers north of Kimberley. It's now in the Northwest province. So it was actually quite nice to go back there. I grew up on a farm. We lived on a farm until I was about 14 years old and then moved to town. And there's a little bit more to that story that probably links a little bit to the sabbatical. So we'll get back to it, but let me not get ahead of myself. Matriculated in Vryburg and then got a bursary with Anglo-American to go and study mechanical engineering. In those days, Anglo-American existed really of diamonds, gold, and coal. So it was before platinum was a big part of the portfolio for the company. And I went into diamonds because I didn't know gold or coal at all. And at least I knew a little bit of Kimberley. And studied mechanical engineering at Rand Afrikaans University, now University of Johannesburg. And then started with De Beers at Cullinan, moved through the ranks, got the government certificate of competency, the ticket. Moved to Venetia, spent a few years there, very, very nice years at Venetia, and then moved to AngloGold Ashanti and firstly into procurement and then later on in business improvement and then onto Kumba for the last 10 years, mostly in business improvement and the last little bit in technology and data analytics. That's from a career perspective, I guess. Married to Karina, have one child. She's turning 11 now on the 29th of August. So that's also good and interesting. And that's a short summary, I guess.
So you are currently on a career break. Why did you take this break and how did you know that it was something that you needed or wanted to do?
So look, in my case, it isn't something I chose necessarily. And if I think through it now, it definitely didn't start out as something I would have chosen or deliberately done. At the end, it does become a choice. And probably in my experience, it started off being forced into it a little bit and ended up being something I then chose to do. But certainly didn't, it's not something I decided to do. It sort of was one of those, as you say, company restructurings that I went through in all the companies I worked for. In De Beers, we went through more than one. AngloGold Ashanti, more than one. Kumba, more than one. And eventually in this last, last round, I took the opportunity and left. So no, I would probably, it's maybe different to other people that chose to take the break. For me, it sort of came my way. And at the end, I guess you do always have a choice. And at the end, I chose it, but it was a little bit of a process between it starting to happen and me eventually choosing to go, which was probably about a year. Of a lot of thinking and a lot of planning and a lot of decisions. And that's probably where I ended up making the choice then.
So before you took the break, did you have some idea of how you might want to use it?
So look, my nature is someone that always plans ahead, right? So I did a lot of planning, but a lot of it was almost, shall I say, defensive planning. So I was very worried about this break, right? And I spoke to a lot of people, and some of them that had retired, and they said, look, you've got to do something to keep your mind, busy if you are not going to go out and immediately look for another job, et cetera, et cetera. So I did do a lot of planning for it. But a lot of the planning was thinking about how I would fill the gap, not just from a keeping yourself busy perspective, but also from a personal perspective, etc. Yeah, so I had a model going into this. So I looked at like three different things.
Of course you did.
three different areas that I would look into, and a fourth one, so I can explain the model to you. But I've sort of followed it to a certain extent. Maybe not done all of it that I wanted so far.
Please explain the model to me. Okay, I'm really interested.
So I guess to take a step back, I'll get back to the model, but maybe to take a step back, you've got to understand, I guess one always has to understand yourself, to understand the journey that you go through. So in my life, so I said, you know, we lived on a farm and we moved to town when I was about 14 years old. So the context behind that is my dad farmed and did really well on the farm. And in the late 70s, early 80s, the farming was really good. And he went and bought two additional farms, so expanded the farming business. Then came the late 80s, early 90s. And, you know, now that I'm bigger and I understand something about economics, I appreciate the predicament they were in, right? So the interest rate climbed to plus 20% in those years. Now, you can imagine if the interest rates today go to over 20%, half the people in this town would lose their houses, right? Your mortgage payments would double up, et cetera, et cetera. So he eventually also lost the farms because of the fact that he had bought those two farms with debt, and the debt servicing just became too big. So for me, that was quite a big event in my life. And it left me, I guess, with a big issue around financial security and security in general, and also made me quite risk averse, right? So you can imagine with that at my core, leaving my job would have been quite dramatic for me, right? Mm-hmm. So it was. So for me, this was not, yeah, that's probably why it wasn't something I would have ever voluntarily just thought up of doing and then gone ahead and done. So to a certain extent, that's probably a little bit of the context around my sabbatical. In a way, I would probably label it as an exercise in facing my fears, which is interesting, right? Because that's what it is for me. And I always knew it was going to be that because I know myself. So I had to think a little bit about what I was going to do during the sabbatical. And having spoken to a lot of people, they said, look, you've got to keep yourself busy, etc. So anyway, that brought me to the model. So I thought about, you know, three areas that I would investigate. One would be starting my own little business and, you know, doing a bit of consulting. So not necessarily just getting back into work. A second one I toyed with the idea, and I haven't done much further with it, is starting something completely new, right? Moving into a completely different direction. So studying something new, becoming something new, you know.
The whole pivoting thing.
That sort of pivoting thing.
Yeah.
And then the third one was, you know, eventually just going back into the formal industry. And at the bottom of it, those were the three sort of directional areas. And at the bottom of it is probably the more interesting piece. And that is the piece where I said, well, there's all these things that I want to do that I never had time for, or I had the excuse that I'm working. So I wanted to do all of that. So, and I have a long list there, and I haven't probably ticked half of them, because on that list are some very interesting things like learning to play a musical instrument, which I haven't gotten close to. But some of them I did do, to take a nice holiday, spend more time with Nikki. You know, I'm studying further now, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a whole lot of those things that I did get to do, but probably not all of them.
So when you decided you were going to take the break, you've now made up your mind. How did your family and friends react to that?
So I find that our parents, so my mother and Karina's parents, they come out of a slightly different era, I guess. So they were very, generally very worried, I think, at first. And it is also interesting because Karina and I both work. So for the longest time, we've been juggling two careers. It has been slightly difficult because we don't always have the time. We have an au pair that, you know, comes in and takes Nikki to school and fetches her from school and takes her to all of her activities, et cetera, and so on. So that's a disadvantage as far as, obviously, you know, having time to spend with Nikki. But the advantage is that you've got redundancy in a way. So our family now is not that different from any family where one of the parents is got a career and working and the other one doesn't. Ours is just a little bit swapped around. It's Karina that's working and it's me that's at the moment not. But very interesting, people battle to get their heads around that, right? So I think our parents were slightly worried because it's not the norm.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, though, parents and family have been very supportive. My sister's especially been very supportive and understanding. And I think it's something that's a bit more common these days. And a lot of my friends would say, look, most guys just envy you. That's straight. that's the reality.
So how was the leaving process from the company you were working at?
It was interesting. So I, for 25 years, or ever since I can remember, I've not worked. And even when you're on holiday, you are working. You know, the emails are there, the phone goes with you. You never really switch off. It was quite dramatic, honestly. You know, I remember when I handed in the laptop and the email stopped working on the phone, and suddenly I didn't have a laptop that was of good enough standard to just carry on. So I felt a bit lost, honestly, in the first week. The admin that you've got to go through, you've got to change all your email addresses at all of these places where you've used your company email address simply because you don't want to manage two inboxes all the time. So the admin was quite hectic. I felt a bit lost in the first week, to be honest, until I had gotten a laptop set up and, you know, gotten myself almost to a place where I felt a bit more comfortable with the structure. And then it became a bit easier. But we were fortunate. We went on holiday about a week after I left. And that made it a bit easier because, and in fact, that was a very, very nice experience because for the first time in a very long time, I took a holiday without worrying about looking at emails in the evenings or what's happening back at work or, you know, is there something I need to manage? And you could just take a holiday. And that was very nice.
So you said you had these three models that you had in the back of your mind and you had a long to-do list at the bottom of it. So you now, a couple of months into this break, the sabbatical, how long are you planning to be on a break for?
So that probably doesn't have a defined date, I guess. So what I've done is it gets back to where I am now and what I'm doing. So what I have done is I have registered the company and I am, you know, I have started a bit of consulting on, call it on the side, but because it's not permanent, you're full time. So doing a bit of consulting. So I'm testing that out and I still need to see whether I'm going to pursue that much more aggressively or not. So I'm doing that. I've also started the study. So I'm doing a master's in philosophy, in business management, corporate strategy at Gibbs. So that's keeping me pretty busy as well. So I've got that as well. And then doing all those other things at the bottom. So for me at this stage, I probably need to make the decision at some point around either getting back into a bit more of the formal employment or carrying on with the consulting and the studies. The studies are still until November next year. So I'm also cautious about, overcooking it because I do want to finish that and do it. So there's actually not a defined end date at this stage.
Because you had a whole long list of things. So how far are you down the list?
I would say probably about 50% of them done. So they were, obviously I wanted to spend a bit more time with Nikki, which I fortunately did get to do because our pair, she's also studying to become a teacher. So she had to go and do her practicals. And during that time, she wasn't available to take Nikki to school, fetch her, take her to all the activities. So it sort of forced me into that. And it came nicely in April when I had just left. So that was very, very nice. So I got to do a bit of that, you know, and spend more quality time with her, which was really nice. And that's probably one of those. And Karina and I went to do the, the signing to see. So we got to do those sort of things as well. So that was also very nice.
The signing to see is a mountain bike race.
That's a mountain bike race. Yes. Yeah. It's a mountain bike stage race. So it was the first one that we had finished. We did last year, we did attempt the, Wines to Wales, but on the first stage I fell and broke two ribs, so never finished it. And this one was therefore the first one that we finished, so that was quite nice. I enjoyed that. So I've done a lot of those things. We've gone on two amazing holidays. One was a skiing holiday. The other one was a holiday now in Europe during the winter year and summer there, which was very nice. But yeah, there's a whole host of things that I haven't started, like the playing the musical instrument and going for cooking classes. I actually wanted to go for cooking classes at some point. I'm not sure if I'll still do it.
Yeah, I found the same thing. I had this long list of things. Well, firstly, I was very deliberate about not filling up my calendar back to back because I'd come from an environment where my whole day was planned out for me from 5-6 in the morning to 5-6 at night. Okay, so I absolutely did not want to fill my calendar up with a whole bunch of stuff. I actually wanted to have time to just be and to be bored and to see what creatively evolves from not having a filled up calendar. Yes. But you do have a whole bunch of things. I mean, for me, it was, am I going to learn how to do botanical drawings? Am I going to do more cooking and baking and all of that sort of thing? You do them. And what I like about the whole space is that it's almost experimental. And you sort of touched on that as well, is that you're sort of experimenting with what you might want to do into the future and seeing whether it fits or it's something that you might want to do into the future. Because we know how corporate works.
Yes.
I mean, you don't have to experiment with that. You know what it's going to be like if you enter that again. So now is the time to actually try and find something different or find different ways of being.
Yes. And I think, look, I think a lot of the change actually happens in your head, I guess. It's probably this experience leaves you as a different person, probably more than it leaves you with having done different things, I think. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes as I go through this.
So what has surprised you the most about the experience so far?
For me, it is a little bit of an experiment in facing your fears. And to a certain extent, I expected to get anxious when I have nothing to do, right? Exactly as you've mm-hmm. said now, if the calendar is not full and you're not busy back to back, and it's probably why I decided to do the studies and so on, so that there's something in the calendar that, you know, stops you from getting, you know, violently too bored. That has been there, but probably not as bad as I had thought it would be. You know, it's, I'd expected it to build up a lot more, I guess.
And no pressure so far?
Not too badly. Although, you know, I guess I put more pressure on myself than anything else.
Yeah, I mean, I did the same because I have this big adventure at the end of the year.
Yes.
And the way in which I fill up the time so that I'm doing something is the exercise I need to do for that. So at least I have a schedule of exercise. So that at least is like a beat, a drum beat. But exercise needs to happen.
Yes.
And then in the in-between time, I can experiment with whatever else I want to try and do and see what I'm going to do next in my life. Have you found some time to do some introspection and thinking? And what does that look like for you?
Yes, I haven't scheduled any sort of formal time or anything like that. But I guess you do that, right? So from the kind of person I am, you know, the mind never stops working. So I have actually thought about this a lot. And even at the start of this, one of the things I thought about was that this would be a little bit of a, almost like call it a mini experience of what retirement would be like. Because I heard from a lot of people how dramatic a change that could be. Because you've spent this whole life working, and, you know, having calendars filled up and so on, and then suddenly, you know, it all stops, and you've almost got no purpose to a certain extent. So I always, you know, I was always conscious that this would be, an opportunity to experience that to a certain extent and think through it and, you know, see what it feels like and, you know, work through it and learn from it and set yourself up so that eventually if that retirement does come at the end of your career, you are in a much better space mentally to deal with it. So a lot of the introspection I've done has been around that, you know, what do you want to do and what do you want to spend your time on and how do you want to keep yourself busy and, you know, what is important to you, et cetera, and all of those questions. So certainly there's been a fair degree of that.
Mm. Can we circle back to the facing your fears bit? Because I completely identify with that as well. I think my story is similar to yours in terms of seeing stuff happen to my parents and not wanting the same stuff to happen to me. And that's why financial security is so incredibly important to me. But for me, it was towards the end of my time at the company, I knew exactly what was going to happen there. Okay? I knew exactly what every day looked like. And I knew exactly the type of work that would be expected from me. And I looked around in the office and I went, I don't want to do this work anymore. I'm just over it. I'm just overdoing this type of work. I want to do a different type of work. And it takes an incredible amount of courage and bravery to go, okay, I don't want to do this and I don't know what I'm going to do next, but I'm going to figure it out. And for me to be able to figure it out, I have to actually let go of my corporate identity. I have to let go of it and I have to go and do some thinking and maybe some studying and maybe walk in a high mountain, but I need to figure out what I'm going to do next because it's not this.
Yes.
It's not whatever I'm seeing around me. So I don't know if you had similar experience or similar feeling of, you know, for me to truly discover who I am and what I'm made of, I need to leave this comfortable cocoon of corporate life.
Yes, yeah. Look, a lot of that resonates with me, right? A lot of that absolutely resonates with me. I guess one always misses the people, right? So I enjoyed that of my career, you know, enjoy working with people and enjoy, I guess, generally doing what I did. But you do get into a groove. I think that's, it's almost a little bit, I mean, I've used the analogy, work becomes a little bit like a drug. So leaving it was almost going on a rehab from it, because it sort of keeps you busy and it fills up your calendar. There's always things to do. You know, there's always more things to do than the time that you have. And you don't really get to ask these questions around what do you really want to do? And, you know, what would life be without this corporate job? So to a certain extent, it's almost like breaking with an addiction. So to a certain extent, you know, it felt like that's what I had to do is completely break the cycle so that you can just have different experience, think differently about things. So yeah, a lot of what you've said resonates with me as well.
Yeah. I mean, I felt like my whole identity was entangled with the company because I'm head of this department of this big company. It somehow made me a different person or a better person. And it's not actually, you know, you have to try and find out who you are without that title.
But it is interesting, you know, further to that, I find that a lot of the pressure that I felt as I started the sabbatical was actually social pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you go to a braai, people normally ask you two things, what's your name and then what you do, right? And what you do defines you. So it is breaking with an identity because you become who you are in that corporate environment and in that identity. And I think the most difficult part to get over is finding a different identity and being comfortable with that different identity. And I think it's more me as the person that feels the discomfort. I'm not too sure it's a big issue for the rest of the people, but it does feel like it is, right? For me, it feels like it is. You know, who am I if I'm not, you know, this person that works and, so you know, and I'm busy, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. And I'm the head of, exactly as you said, of a department.
So how long did it take before you stopped saying, I used to be the head of so-and-so for this and this company?
I still say it from time to time, to be honest, but not to the people that are close, right? So especially so with the studies now, I guess, you know, it's refer back to a working environment, et cetera, et cetera. So it does come up.
So you still, I mean, because you still have the pedigree. I mean, it's still, yes. You actually did do that at some point.
Yes, of course.
And sometimes it's important to mention it. So you are still on your sabbatical. So you are still deciding what to do next.
Yes.
So what are you hoping to do more of in the next 6 to 12 months, I guess?
If I look back at it, it's almost like I've given that a bit of thought, like you say, do a bit of introspection. So it was almost like, you know, March when I stopped working at the end of February. March was all about just taking a bit of a break, going on a nice holiday, almost decompressing, if you may. April was very nice because I got to spend the time with Nikki and I was actually very, very busy with that. In May, I started to set up the company and, you know, started to get the basics in place so that I could have a vehicle through which to do this consulting. June, April, May, June, we did the Sani to see. So that was obviously very, very nice. June started with the studies again and that suddenly started filling up my calendar. You know, in July, we went away on holiday now and coming back now in August, you know, I've gone for the second block on the studies. So it's almost been too busy to really sit back and plan, you know, exactly how I want to take this forward, which on the one side is actually quite nice because it's, you know, it's been busy, but it's also back a little bit to the rhythm that you had, right? You filled up your time with things. So I think what I want to do a bit more of is, I'll follow through with the studies and that'll come in almost like spells of being very busy and then spells of not being that busy. And in the spells that I'm not that busy, probably take the consulting a little bit more serious and, do a bit more aggressive, call it marketing, although, you know, it's more me than I'm marketing, but reach out to more people and get that done a little bit because I've got a lot of experience and, you don't want to let that go to waste either. I think I can make a big difference. So probably do a little bit more of that and then be a little bit more deliberate also in filling up with those things that I haven't gotten to. You know, all those little things that I said I was going to do more of, I I think I do need to do more of those, even if it's just sorting out the garage, getting there and sort it out, right? It's something that has to get done, but you've got to sit down and do it. So it's on the list, but it never gets done. It always gets bumped down the pecking order because of all the studies and all the other things. So in the time left, I think I'll start being a bit more deliberate in planning more time for the consulting to really take off, you know, plan a bit more time for all those other things, and starting to think about whether I want to enter, you know, business again. Because I've also said this to one of the guys that finished off with me. To a certain extent, we also are who we are, right? You know, some people will you know, completely change their careers and probably like you are, you know, and go into a different direction completely. In my case, you know, I may or I may not. I may actually just go back to a corporate. But I think if I do go back, I will go back as a different person. So I may go back to corporate, because I also appreciate that because of my background, I think I operated out of fear a lot, right? Fear of losing your job, or fear of not being good enough as a manager or as a head of a department, or not doing enough, or not impressing your boss enough, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's just... I grew up in corporate, and I think if I do go back, it will be with less of that fear, which I think is a really good thing, right? More of an opportunity mindset rather than a fear mindset. And if that is what I got out of this sabbatical, then I think I would have gotten a lot out of it. That pressure builds up to always want to do more and be more involved or improve on your performance, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It ends up being negative.
Yeah, no, I can completely identify with that. It was actually quite liberating when I'd made the decision that I was going to leave. It was quite early on in the process, actually. I actually knew from the beginning I wasn't going to apply for any of the positions. And it freaked a lot of people out that I wasn't applying for anything. But from that moment, that conscious moment, decision that I wasn't going to go through all of the politics and drama of the restructure, I already became a different person then. That fear of losing your job just disappeared because yes. I wasn't going to stay.
Yes.
And then the true you actually shows up. It was quite interesting. I mean, I saw it in the clothes that I was wearing. Instead of wearing my very dark corporate clothes, I went, I like colors. I'm going to be wearing colors now. This is who I am. I'm a person who likes to wear colors. So it just changed. It already changed my mindset over there. I already started not being the corporate person. And I already said no to stuff where people said, you should do this. I went, no, that's not the right thing to do. And I think for the company, that's not the right thing to do. And where in the past, you would have been too scared to voice that opinion and say, no, you know, and you would just say what the boss told you to do, type of thing.
Exactly.
And I think I like what you're saying, that you'll take that back into that whole mindset. You'll take that back into, if you decide to go into a corporate, take you back into work, the true you, not the one that just follows instructions.
Yes. Absolutely.
Does it make sense?
No, absolutely. Yeah. And look, what you've said now, you know, it resonates with me as well. And I think the interesting thing is you would probably have been way more successful if you had brought that mindset, you know, to work earlier, the mindset of, you know, the fear being gone and bringing the full you, et cetera, et cetera. So for me, that's probably the biggest piece that I think I'm going to get out of this sabbatical. I may end up actually following through with the consulting piece and not getting back into corporate, and that's also fine. But if I do, it has to be as a different person with a bit of a different mindset, and not, in my case, as you've now rightly also said, not operating as much out of fear. Or my wife always says, our generation or we are, you know, insecure overachievers. And that's typically it, right? Always feel like you're not doing enough and probably doing way more than anybody else is. So I think changing that fear mindset into an opportunity mindset would be something valuable.
Mm. And how has Nikki reacted to having your dad around more?
She never wants me to go back to work. So, and she's very vocal about it as well. She doesn't want me to get a job again. So she's saying, no, you can't have a job again. Look, at first she was pretty brutal because she would tell everybody that my dad got fired and he doesn't have a job anymore. So that doesn't help. You know, that doesn't help the social pressure at all. But I'm dealing with it quite well now. But She would still do it now. She would just say, you know, my dad.
Unemployed.
Yeah, he's unemployed. Yeah, he doesn't have a job. He got fired. You know, he doesn't have a job at all. So, but if I ask her and I tell her, does she want me to go back to work, or I mute that I'm going to go back to work, then she doesn't really want me to.
Mm.
So I think she's also appreciated, you know, me being there more, being more involved, et cetera. So that's quite nice.
Yeah. And Karina?
That's very interesting. So I think she would probably say, you know, me having more flexibility helps her a lot, because that just frees her up to be able to, you know, travel for work, or, you know, without having a worry about who's going to take care of Nikki or how's this going to work out. I think for us as a couple, this is more normal. This is healthier than it used to be. I mean, both parents, you know, pushing very hard at corporate careers and pushing the careers very hard is difficult. It has been difficult for us. We've managed it, but, you know, with the au pair and grandmother and my grandma and grandpa and so on helping out. But I think it has been difficult. And I think this has sort of made it easier. But at the same time, you know, there's the realities of life. You know, it is nice to get the salary every month, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, that allows you to have the elaborate holidays and all these mm-hmm. other things that you can do then. So there is that pressure. But if I honestly had to ask her, I think she would err towards the side that I shouldn't be over eager to get back to it too quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And also, if you go back, get back into something that is right, as opposed to just get back into something simply because you're getting anxious, or you feel the social pressure, or you feel insecure not having a job, or whatever those, you know, those things that you make up in your mind are, because they are there. I think she honestly would want me to think more about it rather than just jump back into it.
I think one of the biggest lessons that I've learned from the sabbatical is that it does change you as a person. And I think if you go back into a corporate career or work for an employer again, I think you go back with a very different picture in your mind of who you want to work for and what you are willing to take from them. I think you definitely redefine those parameters when you're on a break.
Yes. No, I absolutely agree with that. And look, I've been very blessed and very fortunate to have Karina that's got a solid career and, you know, doing well. So it does take a little bit of that financial pressure off, and it allows you to think more about these things. I guess our biggest risk is every now and then she would say that she also wants that side, and I will go back to work and she can take a bit of the sabbatical, and maybe that's fair as well. But I can see that she also sees the value for me in doing it, and even maybe for herself at some point, you know, the value in being able to mm-hmm. do something like this.
Yeah. Is there anything else you'd like to mention that we haven't spoken about yet?
I think it's an interesting experience. It's a scary experience. You know, in summary, I would probably say, for me, with my background, I always knew it was going to be a bit of a scary experience. I was going to have to face that fear. And that's probably why I would have never done it out of choice. Or at least when it started up, you know, later on, you know, as I thought through it, I realized it became much more real and nice and became a choice. But I think it is a good experience, and it is something that's valuable. And I guess the value in it is from different angles. You know, whether it's spending more time at home, spending more time with your kids, those are the obvious things. But I think for me, I've come to realize that the value it has in actually changing you and the way you view yourself and the way you operate. And, you know, as we discussed, moving away from operating out of fear, maybe to a moving out of opportunity, the value of that change is probably much bigger than any of the others.
Yeah, it's definitely a life-changing experience. It makes you a different human being at the end of it.
Yeah.
So thanks so much for joining me in the studio, Sas. It's been lovely to speak to you.
Thank you, Pietro. And good luck.
Thank you.
You've been listening to another production from Solid Gold Podcasts.